kind of makes me feel like we're at a tent revival. Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to introduce to you, although many of you know Morris and Ida Oginga, our partners in ministry in East Africa. I will introduce them again to you in a minute. I have a lot of respect for Morris's bravery, and even more now that I know that Peter's been driving him around in Uganda and in Bali. So,
thank you.
We'll pray for you, Morris. We started this journey in East Africa, as Peter mentioned earlier, in 1998 with an exploratory trip over to the Mbali, and which led to our first church plant in Bulalelo, and then has led to a number of ministries since then, everything from the children's home in Luanda to Covenant Bible Institute Theology and I Choose You Ministries and many other things. So it's always a pleasure for us to have Morris and I to come back here and share with us the things that have been going on there. Every year, a number of churches, ourselves included, sometimes will go over and minister in East Africa, either Uganda, Kenya, or Tanzania, to either plant a church or work with the children's home or some other kind of ministry. And so Morris and Ida are always hosting us over in East Africa. And this is our chance to host them. They'll be with in our area in the States for a couple of months, visiting several churches, and we have the distinct pleasure of having them with us today. So Morris and Ida, welcome.
Thank you. I greet you all in Jesus' name. I bring you greetings from East Africa, Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania, where we are working. Just as Paul has said, this journey began here. The journey began here. And it began with 1 mile, because you cannot begin with two. Always one step, then the second, third, and fourth, and fifth. Then you continue moving. That's where we began. We want to share with you what we are doing. We know we are here last year, and we share with you what God had done. And this, the year which has passed, which today we are in, 2017, 2016, God has done again wonders, and we say, let us share with our brothers. Because of your love for us, your generosity, we have come to share with you again. I would love my wife to speak first. We will talk about the orphanage, the kids, and they choose you. Then I will pick from there. My loving wife, you are welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. We bring greetings from Uganda, like Morris said, in East Africa, because as you all know, we work in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. And as God provides, we look forward to go to Southern Sudan and Rwanda, because that is all East Africa. We'd like to thank the leadership of this church, the pastor, the deacons, the elders, and all our brothers and sisters. That's the congregation. For all the work that you have been doing in East Africa, from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you so, so much for supporting us. You have made it work and easy for us. Thank you so much for allowing God to use you in that part of the world. For sure, you have made differences in the lives of our people. You don't know, some of you, what was happening down there before you started coming, because so many people were believing in different things. But because of your coming to Uganda, you have brought a change in the lives of our people. I always have stories. I was telling the first service, people who attended the first service, about a story I remember some years back. We had a group of people who came from here, and they planted a church in a place called Budaka in Uganda. And one of the younger men who came was, by then he was a young man, he was called Ryan Yokobaitas, for some of you who remember him. And then he married, I think, Kathy. But before they got married, they came to Uganda and they went to this church plant. As they were going for house-to-house evangelism, they come across this old man who was 75 years old, and they preached to him the gospel. He got excited. He heard the gospel for his first time. He gave his life to Christ. And because he was so happy, the best people have in the villages, they keep chickens. And for some of you have been going to villages, you have been seeing chickens roaming around, looking for their way, looking for food. Chickens in Africa are very smart because they know where they belong. They look for the food in the morning. At the end of the day, they go back because the chicken knows where they come from. Anyway, this old man, because he was excited and grateful, he looked for a best gift to give Kathy for preaching to him the gospel. He sent some of the grandchildren to look for the chicken because you have to look for them because during the day they are roaming around the village. So they ran, got this one rooster, brought to Kathy and gave it to her as a gift. Of course, with American girls, I don't know how you raise your children. They don't know what to do with a live chicken. They were holding this. She was holding the chicken. I was like, what do I do with this? And of course, she gave it to the translator to bring it for dinner the following day. As she came back, actually she asked him, the old man asked Kathy before she left, that I wish you could be here to preach also to my other part of the family. But it was not possible because she had to go to other places also. But when his family came back, the old man was able to preach to his family too, and they too accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. But as this was going on, this man was shedding tears, and he looked into Kathy's eyes and said, I think this is the reason why the Lord has kept me this long, so that you can come and bring this good news of Jesus Christ to me. The following year, when they came to preach the gospel again, they had a chance to go back to this old church. I remember as we were walking into this church, we found the old man on a bench with his family. And when he saw Kathy, he jumped up and started screaming, Kathy, Kathy. She couldn't remember him because during the week when she was there, she met so many people. But he was screaming her name. He said, do you remember me when you came and preached to me the gospel? And I gave you a rooster. She was like, oh, yes, I can remember you. I even have your picture on my refrigerator. And actually said, yeah, because you preached to me, I was able to go back and preach also to my family. All those people there, I've also brought them to Christ. And he told her that if you do not come back, at least we shall meet in heaven because now I know where I'm going. And that is the very reason why you people, you come, to change such, to change lives. For those who have been coming, thank you so, so much. You are no longer coming, some of you, I don't know why. I don't want you to meet those people in heaven. Go back and encourage them. Because those people, they are still standing strong. Some of them have become pastors. Some of them have become deacons. Some of them are in the Bible college. They really need to see you. But if you are weak and you can't go back, you will meet them in heaven because that's the best that you have given them. Would like from the bottom of our heart to say thank you so, so much for doing that to us. You have not only done that, but you know we have so many orphaned children because of AIDS. AIDS in Uganda has claimed so many lives. And with that, that's how we end up with over 3 million children who are orphans. And because of that, as you know, you started Rwanda Children's Home, which is Grace International, where we are keeping 130 children right now. I stand here to say that thank you so much. Some of our children, since we started, some of them, I think about 12 children are going to be joining the university this year. And that is because you have started that work in them. Thank you so much. I was with them 2 weeks ago, counseling them, talking to them, and some of them were promising me, they called me grandma. They were telling me, grandma, you know what? In 5 years, I'm going to be a doctor from now. In 3 years, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be, you know? Thank you so much for doing that in the lives of our children. And you know, Rwanda is taking mainly children who are orphaned children. But we looked around and we saw we have so many children who have parents, yes, like where we live, we have a slum area called Namatala. There I find this group of Karamojongs, where I find children who are starving, children who are eating in garbage. All of us, we know what is in garbage. It's not a good place to look for food. So God put that on our hearts sometimes back, and we decided to take some of the children from the street and start up another program called I Choose You Ministry, where we sponsor these children to go to school, give them scholastic materials, take them to the hospital. And some of those children are the children that are living with us. We have 15 children that are living with us in our home, those who were on the street, who had no anybody to keep them. But I'm really grateful to God that they are doing well, and they are already missing Mama Rosa and Papa Pete. So the more sponsors we get, the more children we reach out. But from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you so much. We have yet again started again another program called King's Kid Africa, which is kicking off this coming year, which we thought that if we do it every church that we have planted, so that we can build a home, so that these pastors, those other few children that they're having, so that they can have more room to keep those children. But from the bottom of our hearts, I'm not the speaker for today. If I was to speak, I can speak the whole day. I would like to say thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to speak. And thank you for sending your dear wife to Tanzania last year. She made my week that week. Thank you so much. May God bless you as you look forward to come. And for those who have never been there, thank you so much for your financial support. You have supported us financially. You have supported us through prayers. And those who are thinking of coming, Africa is the right place to go. We love you all. May God bless you.
I would love just to update you so quickly. In Uganda, we don't look at time, but here I look at time. And I have nothing to do. I have to do my best as I can. I want just to update you. I want to thank you very much, the elders, the deacons, and the congregation of this church, for the team which came to Tanzania last year. We opened a church in Bomangombe. Many people came to the Lord, and we just want to say, thank you so much for that. Without you, we cannot do. We need you so that we may walk along together. So we thank you for that support. We also had other churches which came, and we started a church last year. We had a church called Faith Bible Church from Oklahoma. We started a church in a place called Honge. And we also had another church which came, Calvary Chapel and Newburgh. You know, let me tell you what. All this, the journey from here. All these churches you are hearing us talking about, men came from here. And when they went away, they did not lose the vision which started from here. They went with the vision and they went selling the vision. Everywhere we go, the people who came from here, they are those sites of the end. And so Newburgh is and Calvary Chapel, a man called out of the mind. I've remembered it now. Just be with me and we move together. Phil Nobby was here, and as he was here, he went to Calvary Chapel with the and there we started something there, and we started a church. So we were in Kenya last year. We started a church, a place called Nyamonye. And also we started another church in Uganda last year with Oklahoma Presbyterian Church. And so we started 4 churches last year. We went to schools. We saw people get saved. We went to prison. We see people coming to the Lord. And so we won't just say God is good. And if when we say our God is building a nation which will worship him in spirit and truth, it is my joy, and I feel at home, and I say this is what we need to do and continue doing, because we are doing the work of the Lord. And so those are the things we did last year. And also we have the church which works with us in discipleship. Since we began, that's Midland Bible Church. They did not come for church planting last year, but they come for disciples. We are discipling men, lay leaders in the church, elders and deacons. We have discipled 1,450 people. And so the work is continuing, and we have to give God glory for that. Also, we have another team also from Tombo. For them, they came to follow up, and we did follow up in a church. We did follow up in a church in Masese, and we saw people come to the Lord, and they are coming back this year too. And so we give God glory for that, and also we continue doing that every day, and we thank God for what God is doing. Now, I want to talk about the Holy Apostle also came. And when they came, we did medical work in a place called in Kenya, Moita. We went to three churches. And whatever we do with medical work, we don't just give. Jesus said, first, what we do, as we do medical, we also preach. And so in every church, we can treat 3,000 people, and they have heard the gospel. And I know they go, some get saved, and they go knowing that it was not just only medicine, but also spiritual, because we must think of the life also for tomorrow. And so we are very grateful for that. Those are the works we did last year. But I want to share with you about the challenge in church planting, especially in Tanzania. Language barrier is a very big problem to us. Tanzanians, they don't speak English until you reach S4 is when they start teaching you about English. So Kiswahili is a big problem to us. So that's a challenge. And also, Tanzania belongs to East Africa, but we have a challenge. If we take somebody from Kenya going to work to Tanzania, we must pay a permit. Just as Americans pay permit in Uganda when they come to stay there. In Tanzania, they charge more than what we ever never thought. They charge in 2 years staying there, you pay for $1,000. In Uganda, it's only $250. You see, that difference is so big. So that is a challenge. And I ask you, Lord, people to pray for us. Pray for us as we do this, because that is a challenge. We need to see how we can start maybe mobile training in Tanzania, how we can get the people there so that the work may move there smoothly. So pray for us as we continue with the work in Tanzania. And also, I wanted you to know about the Bible College. The Bible College is the pillar of what we are doing, because we cannot take people outside there who are not trained. We have to train them, then send them, people who know the Word of God. But the problem we have with the Bible College is that I wanted you to know that in a Bible College, we have some achievements which so far we have achieved. Number one, we were registered with the National Council. Registered with the government of Uganda, and they gave us some conditions. The condition we are given is that for us to have a full license, we must build a dining hall. That's a challenge. A dining hall and a kitchen and a hostel where people are to sleep. We have not done that. They want us to have 2,900 books, because this is institution registered by the government. So those are some of the challenges. To build a dining hall and a kitchen and a hostel will cost us $60,000. We don't have that money. But God has. Where it will come from, me, I don't know. God knows, because this is his work. I'm a servant. I will say, Father, I have to go. Give me, I go. And you know, I'm just a worker. You know, what can I do? Nothing I can do. And so pray, let us pray together for this, so that God may avail this. Why? We don't want the government to provoke this license again. Because if they remove the license from us, in Uganda, right now, our government is challenging the whole country. You know, those days, people could train people, you know, I train you and I give you a certificate from my pocket and I write, and you go ahead. Now they say no. It must be recognized by the government of Uganda. And so if you don't have that, everywhere you go to work in Uganda, they will ask, where did you go to school? They will go into the chat and look at the school. If that school is not registered in the government, your license is useless and you can never get a work in Uganda. Number two, they are trying to work out that a pastor who is not trained, theologically trained, and have a paper from theological school, they are not going to allow him to stand in the pulpit in our country. The reason is they want to, most of our, in our country, you know, our president is a believer, the wife is a believer, and most of the people in our government are born again, even in the army. They say, how can we eliminate false teaching going around? We must examine these pastors. And so the government is coming in the church. Are you a pastor? Give us your license. Where did you go to school? If not, they shut that church down. And that's what the government is looking. So we pray together that God may avail funds so that we may do the work of God. And so, brothers, I want you to pray with us so that this may take off. Last year, the government supported us. The National Council gave us 140 books. That means they love us to serve. And the Friends of CBIT also send us 104 books. We need 2,900 books for the library. Let us pray that this may come to pass. I know it will come to pass in the name of the Lord, because he owns everything. He owns everything. And so if God gives you something, please provide. They have given, we are remaining with few months to go, because they are coming in March to check again. They checked in December last year. We have done nothing. They say we are coming back in March. So please, let us knee go on our knees and pray to our Father in heaven so that God may help us to do these things. We have Covenant Primary School. We also need a hostel. The need is huge, but who can do all this? God can do. And God has been using you as Grace Community since 1998 to today. I say, may God still use you as he has been using you people, so that we may serve the Lord together. And as such, I say, all these things are there, and we have to help one another. We have a database. I know the money came from here, and we have done a database for the school, whereby all the informations of the school are kept in a database whereby no one can take it, or it will always be there. So we are just, we have an internet, those are achievements. But my brothers and my sisters, I've come to plead with you. This college is the pillar for this work. And I'm praying when you go home, please, please, let us pray together. The Bible says, pray, move with action. So I want to say thank you so much for serving the Lord together with us. We have those other challenges also. Busiu, there's a church. The wind came and blew the church. We don't have a church now in Busiu. We are praying for that shelter. It is gone. And also, those are some of the challenges which we are seeing. We have another church we opened as Mbale Church. We opened that by ourselves, called Bumwambu. Bumwambu, we put there a temporary building. We need a good building there. All this I bring to you. Let us pray together. I want to say thank you, and I've come back, and I'm saying you are welcome, that we may serve the Lord together. Time is more nearer than when it began. Thank you so much. God bless you. Last but not least, and I can't forget this, July 2017, we are graduating 51 students. Thank you. I have 2 minutes. take 10. He has given me 10. So, I want us just to turn in the Word of God very fast. I won't read, but I will explain. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 12. I want to talk about you being the chosen race of God. You, the chosen race of God. So being the chosen race of God, let us live to honor our God. This letter is written by Peter. And Peter is writing to the brothers who are scattered because of persecution. You know what it is. God brought sometime persecution so that the children of God may go and share the gospel somewhere else. If we don't want to move, persecution comes and we move, eh? I don't know, sometimes we don't want to move, So he brings persecution so in order for us to move. So these people were to move in Galatia and Phaistosia, and they were living there. And Peter is writing a letter to them. Peter still wants to remind them that they should know they are a chosen race of God. And I will talk about only 6 things, and I wind up, and I say thank you so much. So, my brothers, I want to know you are a chosen race of God. And Peter tells them, because you are a chosen race of God, I want you so Peter wants them to know that you are a nation of God. And being a nation of God, brothers and sisters, we are building a nation of God. The nation which will worship God in spirit and truth. But that gospel to come, what it is, the gospel must be preached. And you being the nation of God, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know, being a nation of God, God must be the head of our nation. God the Father, God the Son is the head of our nation. And we as his people, we must devote ourselves to God. As his people. Because we are God's nation, we must devote ourselves to him. We need now, as a nation of God, we need brothers and sisters to live in agreement all the time. I know sometimes we may have a different, the enemy brings different, but I want us to pursue that we as a nation of God. You know what? In this country, we live, everyone live in his house. Let me tell you the story. Being a nation of God, in heaven we will live in one home. There will be no boundary, there will be no block somewhere, and say some are living there, some are living there, some are doing this job, others will. All of us will be worshiping God that day. And so we need to learn how we can live in agreement with one another every day. We need to have one custom. You see, we are children of God. We are sanctified by the Spirit of God. We are one nation. When the nation of Israel came a nation, they did not get that name by themselves. God gave them that name. And they were called Israel. And Israel, up to today, they know they are a nation of God. Now, that was a nation of Israel. What about the Gentile? Did God come only for the Israelite? No. Only? No. He came also for the Gentile. And now we are making a nation. We shall all worship God together in spirit and truth. And that's what Peter wanted these brothers to know. Even when you are there, remember you are God's nation. Remember you are a priest of God. Now, brother, did you know you are a priest of God? Now, you being a priest, let us look at the Old Testament. What was the work of a priest? The work of a priest was to take the problem of the people, represent them to God. Why? Because the priests were not chosen by anybody. They were chosen by God. Who chose you? How many of you here David chose? Nobody. God chose you to be his own. And he said, you will be priest. You are my priest. In fact, if we don't know, we are priest of God. I need you to know that today you are a priest of God. And you are to represent God in this world by telling God the things you want God to do. That's why God say, pray for the country. Pray for the president. Pray for the sick. Pray that the kingdom of God may move. Who can do that? It is you. Why? Chosen by God. I want you to know you are a priest of God. Now, let us go back. What is the character of the priest? One, they were obedient to God. You must be obedient to God. They were always obedient to God. They chose these people who are offering prayer to God. They have the priest. The Bible says they were controlled by the Spirit of God. Brethren, let us allow the Spirit of God to control our lives, to control our mind, to control our movement, to control our behavior, to control everything we do, because we are God's priest. All their expectation was from God. All their hope was from God. Where is your expectation now? Where is your hope today? Are you hoping on people? No. Our hope must be God. My expectation must be God. When I'm praying, I no longer pray. When I was a Catholic, I was to pray in the name of Mary and Judah today. Now, whom do I pray? I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Why? I'm God's priest. I meditate. I intercede for others. Stanley told me this morning, thank you very much. They say they intercede. Continue interceding for me. When you kneel down, don't forget Maurice. Say, God, we know Maurice is very far, but protect him so that I may live a life to give God glory. You are that priest. When you go home, you should know you are a priest even in your home. In your house, man, you are a priest in your homes. That's what Peter is telling those brothers. And he tells them, once a time you are not people of God, but now you are. Once a time you had no mercy, but now we are. Brothers, we are here because God has shown us mercy. He has shown us his love. How did he show his love? For God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes may not perish and have everlasting life. That is it. Look at that love. And that love, who can compare that love? God becoming a man, being in a woman for 9 months. After the 9 months, being born in a manger. After a manger, walking in Galilee for 33 years and a half. God became man because of you. Oh my goodness. Look at that. You were being chosen to be a son of God. Was not just costly. When I go to market, yesterday Paul took me to the market. And I was to pick some. That is not what salvation is. You cannot go in the market and say, how much is salvation? 40 shilling. Take it. No. It is very costly. And because it's costly, brothers, I want you to understand me today. You being the child of God. Peter is telling them, they are very far. Brethren, when we leave this home, everyone goes everywhere. Others are going to work. Everywhere you are going. Now, do you hear what Peter is trying to tell them? Do you know why you are called? Sometimes we forget why we are called. He say, you are called outside darkness and brought into the kingdom of the light. And then say, send them back. To do what? Hey, because we are making a nation. And this nation, you and me, we must go and tell those people, come into the kingdom of God and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior so that you become one nation. Amen. And God will be our God. That is the reason why God has called us. He has called us out of darkness. Woo, and take us back. You know what? Because we have to go and tell those people to come. So we are building a nation. Are you part of this nation? Yes, you're already in the nation. But do you know there are people who are to come in the nation? Before Christ returns, Christ is coming to take this nation. Those who are waiting for him, who are washed with the blood of the Lamb. He said, I'm coming back. Because since the time Jesus went, did he sit down? How many of you think he's sitting? No. He said, I'm working, building a mansion for us. And he said, when it is finished, he's coming back for you. Hey! When it is done, he's coming back to take us to that mansion he's building. Because we are his people. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to understand this. He has never given up the body. What kind of love is that? God putting on a nature, God coming in the world, being born in the body which is not his. He becomes a child and he puts on the body. And Jesus said, I will never put off that body forever and ever. Hallelujah. Look at that joy. Look at that love. Because he said, in that nation, I will also sit with the body you have. When you look at Jesus and we are praising his name, we will see Jesus with that body which cannot die. And that's the body I'm going to have when I'm in heaven. The body which cannot die. And we'll worship him and praise his name. And brothers and my, and Peter tells the brother that, okay, now you are in that foreign land. You are strangers. You know, sometimes we forget we are strangers in this world. I've been burying people and I understood I'm a stranger, by the way. I said, hey! You know, when you are burying somebody, it's when people realize there is death. When there is nobody, you think we know there is death? Apana. We think we are there forever. Nothing going to happen to me. I'm a stone. I want you to know. Jesus is saying, Peter is telling those brothers, did you know you are strangers and pilgrims in this world? The word pilgrims means I'm a foreigner. And I just go there and I'm going away. This world is not our home. We have our home. Now Peter is telling them, because you are foreigners and strangers in this world, listen. How should you live? He said, abstain away from evil desires which come affect your life. Brethren, we have evil desires everywhere. Yesterday I was watching a TV and I saw how the devil ran over us. This boy was running away from the gang, but the gang had never forgotten. And that's how the devil is. We are running away from the devil, but the devil is at the back. He said, hey, one day I will get you. One day I will get you. Anytime you break down, I will pick you up. So, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. Abstain away from evil desires. There are many evil desires. Is it in TV? There are many channels. You know, the devil also is working hard. He has put bad channels everywhere. Many channels, bad ones. He's doing for who? For the children of God to see. Because how will he get the children of God back? Now you put the bad channel. Then you put off. Then when you reach here, you say, no, you look it for some time. Especially the youth. You look some time. Hey, you see? Evil. So evil is everywhere. But Paul says, abstain away from evil. Because evil destroys our liberty. It destroys our liberty. It weakens our spirit. I don't know. When sin is in your life, how do you feel? You feel you are weak. You feel you are disgusted. You feel this world is not yours. You feel, why am I here? You see? It weakens your spirit. Evil always robs our peace and our future. It turns us around and we're no longer looking at God, but we just look at the situation over there. But Peter is saying, telling them, brothers, remember even when you are there, remember you are the chosen race of God. Brother, you are chosen race. God chose you for a purpose. He chose you to live a good life everywhere you go. So that the people who are within around you, when they see the good deeds you have done, even though they don't believe in God, they will glorify his name. And so everywhere we go, let us do the good deeds God asks. Who will do them if you don't do them? Brethren, if we don't serve God, who will serve him? If we don't build the kingdom of God, who will build? Who? In your generation, who will build? And Jesus said, everything you have done in the kingdom of God will follow you. Revelation 14, blessed are those who die in the Lord. And their soul will rest. And their deeds will follow them. Which deeds are these? Is it the house I'm sleeping in? No! Have you built a church? Hey, those are the things which you will see. The things you do. You are my generation now. The things you do now is what you will see. Those ones which you have done for yourself will not be there. I'm telling you the truth. Those ones will not be there because the Bible says the good religious church is the one who cares for orphans and widows and sick children. And when they give you a child who is nowhere, what do you say? No, my man and my wife and my children. May God bless you, the chosen man, the chosen woman. Tell your friend next to you, you are the chosen of God. Do the work of God. God bless you. Amen.
I think all of you know that we are a very missions-minded church. We budget a lot of finances to help out overseas missions work, and the group that we support the most is East Africa Missions. If you were to make a pie and slice it up in terms of areas of the world we support, the larger section, the lion's share, goes to East Africa Missions. Long before I got here, our church was involved with Morris and Ida's work in East Africa. So I'm going to ask you all to stand with me now. We want to pray for this work. And again, as a church, next year, we'll be looking at again at preparing for a trip every other year. So every other year, we end up going to East Africa with the team. And that's something you can pray about as well. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing in East Africa. Thank you for bringing Ida and Morris here safely overseas. And we pray for their safety as they travel all over the United States to different churches to give reports and encourage them with the things that are happening in East Africa. Grant them traveling mercies. We pray for their health, that they wouldn't get sick, but that it would be a refreshing time as they refresh the saints here. We also, Lord, want to pray for unity in those churches in East Africa. There is a lot of false teaching going around, and it's a good thing that the churches there that Morris and I are involved with are training their pastors well. We pray for their unity. We pray for leaders to arise in those churches, for strong elders, strong deacons. We pray for just the congregations to be a light in their community. And Lord, we also just pray for your hand on the college, CBIT. That is the pillar. That is the thing that has to be there for those churches to survive, especially if we're not able someday to go over there. They have to have their own people being trained there at their own schools. So we just pray for CBIT and that continued growth, as well as Lawanda and the missions there. Thank you so much, Lord, for this work. Thank you that you've allowed us to be involved with this work. And we thank you so much for Morris and Ida's heart and for bringing him here with us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.